And you can also choose the mind, the clarity aspect, the clarity and the cognitive aspect of the mind as the object of meditation, object of shamatha. So there it is not just sufficient to intellectually understand or know that the definition of mind is the clarity and the cognitive aspect thing, but rather it has to be experientially understood or gain expertise onto, and then can focus single-pointedly on the mind as the object. Presenting the fourth system, this is a meditative stabilization possessing two features, a mind that is very clear, possessing the intensity of clarity, as well as having non-conceptual stability, abiding one-pointedly on the object being visualized. Some accept four qualities by adding bliss and clarity. Clarity is established by this, and bliss is not acquired here. Hence, the two aforesaid features clearly explain this, and while sinking interrupts excitement, harms the non-conceptual one-pointedness. Hence identify the opposing factors of gross and subtle sinking and excitement, and cherish the importance of relying upon the conducive conditions of mindfulness and conscientiousness. So, to obtain the degree of clarity, a proper degree of clarity and a non-conceptuality, the laxity and excitement are the two prime hindrances, discordant factors. So as an antidote to laxity and excitement, so the mindfulness has to hold on to the object, and the introspection or the conscientiousness should check whether or not the mind is focused on the object, appropriate object. Reflecting upon the aspect of the object of focus ascertained already, recalling that the mind is being tied upon the object of focus, the mind visualizes the object and does not get distracted to others. Thus, mindfulness here possesses the three features of object, mode of apprehension, and function. So, the mindfulness, this meant the matter of fact of mindfulness should have three features. The object to which the mindfulness should hold on to or latch on to, and the mode of apprehension and the function. Moreover, having found the object of focus, as explained before, consciousness apprehends it, and generating a strong and elevated mode of apprehension, thinking that the mind is being tied to the object, do not engage into any fresh analysis, sustaining the force of that mind without letting it break, is the crucial point of relying on mindfulness. The main mode of sustaining the actualization of meditative stabilization is merely the mode of sustaining mindfulness. And since mindfulness is a mode of apprehension, having the aspect of ascertainment, to an ascertainment without tight mode of apprehension, the clarity may come, but there is no clarity with intensity. A meditation without object of focus should be accepted as a meditation, undistracted to other phenomena. Undistracted also is taught to be nothing else than the mere mode of sustenance of mindfulness without forgetting the object of focus. Negating the system with fault. Some think that this crucial point of mindfulness explained above possesses greater excitement, although it is without sinking, and thus say that the more you release, the better the meditation. this is mistaking a rise of sinking to meditation. If you think that there is no fault as clarity will come, that is a fault of not distinguishing mental torpor and sinking. Hence, I'll explain the border of tightness and relaxation. The intelligent and the aspirant should cherish this like their own life. The process of mental placement, the need to relax from the level where one thinks that if heightened, this much excitement will grow. In the process of placing the mind in a state higher than the measure of thinking, that if established as such, the thinking will grow, will be known if you analyze it through using your own intelligence. From the state of not letting the mood of apprehension of mindfulness degenerate, when you wash through the grasp of the alertness that merely sees whether one is abiding on an actual object or not, and whether sinking or excitement has grown, before the exhaustion of the previous mental force, it watches intermittently at not uneven periods. So I have a friend, a Lama, who has meditated so much, spent so much time meditating, and gradually, so he then revealed his experience to me, saying that his memory, the power of memory, weakened after a long period of time of meditation. So there, then I just doubt if there is a kind of element, some element of mistaken way of meditation involved in his meditation. So during meditation, it is very important, at least in the initial stage, that you sit for a greater number of sessions, but the duration should be less. Otherwise, right from the beginning, if you sit for a long period of longer session, there the faulty side would be that because if you have unvirtuous or unfavorable habituation to the improper meditation, this can be a very bad habituation that it cannot be corrected later on. From the state of not letting the mood of apprehension of mindfulness degenerate. When you watch through the grasp of alertness that merely sees whether one is abiding on the actual object or not, and whether sinking or excitement has grown, before the exhaustion of the previous mental force, it watches intermittently at not uneven periods, and similarly merely recollects the recollection of the previous object. Sustaining this, mindfulness will grow stronger, and sinking excitement will be identified. Without being influenced by this point of mindfulness, the duration of meditation will be long. Wisdom will be dull, and many great forgetfulness. Mentally repeating the object should be understood as the meaning of retention and mindfulness during the duration of the session. Something that forgets through distraction and not identifying quickly sinking and excitement is the fault of the lack of the strength of consciousness. Hence, sustaining many and short sessions is the essence. When the two faults cease, slightly lengthen the duration of the meditation session. Duration of the session could be 1 hour or half session, or like a half session, do as long as you could, judging one's own mental capacity. Meditate upon eliminating the hindrances without being stubborn. How to do after focusing on object? This has two parts: how to do when thinking and excitement arises, and how to do when one is free from thinking and excitement. First, excitement. By nature, Excitement is a kind of attachment, as it focuses on objects that are beautiful and pleasing. Motive apprehension is unpacified distraction and engages towards the object with an aspect of craving. Feature of the function is doing the work of hindering the abidance of the mind of the object. Thinking is either virtue or neutral, since it does not hold tightly the mode of apprehension of the object. Even though there is clarity, there is no sharpness of the clarity. Torpor is non-virtue and obscured neutral. The cause of thinking is a part of ignorance, making the body and the mind heavy and unserviceable. The means of generating alertness, realizing that during the meditation, unless one relies upon a strong alertness, seeing, thinking, and excitement, when they are bound to arise, merely having an understanding of the thinking and excitement is of no use here. The method of sustaining such an alertness is of two kinds, continually relying upon mindfulness as explained before, and from that state to examine and watch attentively from a corner, whether the mind is distracted to something else from the object or not, is the second condition of sustaining alertness. Since just as a powerful mindfulness is a cause of alertness, likewise, frequently analyzing from a corner is also its cause, relying upon antidotes without effort for banishing it. Even though it has been identified, this is two parts, identifying mental engagement and the process of stopping thinking and excitement, and identifying the causes of depending upon which thinking and excitement is generated. Identifying mental engagement and the process of stopping thinking and excitement. Just as an iron moves due to magnet, similarly, it is the mental factor of mental engagement that instigates the mind to either neutral virtue or non-virtue. Here, you should hold the antidote of not applying mental application when thinking and excitement arises. Since thinking is over withdrawal of the mind within and losing the mode of apprehension of the object, this can be stopped by meditating on joy and not by sadness. Likewise, meditating on the six recollections, the signs of the appearance of a deity, and also heightening the spirit of analyzing the object one wishes and generating joy. Extending the object, elevating the mode of apprehension, and walking in case at the grosser levels of laxity arises, and then praying, washing face with water, gazing at planets and stars, contemplating upon the qualities of bodhicitta and leisure endowment, eliminate the causes of thinking and meditate on anything that helps clarity. Excitement is running towards the object through attachment, hence it will be automatically removed by meditating upon impermanence, renunciation through sadness, etc. It is an quintessential instruction to immediately call back when there is stronger distraction. It is also suitable to immediately call back when there is a strong excitement. Identifying the causes depending upon which thinking and excitement is generated, not guarding the sense faculties, intemperate in food, not attempting to sleep, not abidance of alertness, are the common causes of thinking and excitement, and the causes of thinking are too much sleep, over-reliance on calm abiding, and staying as if in darkness and not enjoying apprehending the object of focus. The causes of excitement are weak sadness, non-habituation effort, excessive tightening of the mode of apprehension, and being distracted towards object, relatives, etc. Thinking and excitement should be stopped when they are bound to arise. Even if one ignores the subtle ones, the meditative stabilization will become faulty. When thinking and excitement arises, seek within the component of stability While abiding, be cautious of singing and intensify clarity. Do not be contented with mere clarity, although a balanced engagement of this is difficult for the time being. There is nothing that does not become easy when habituated. How to do when one is free from sinking and excitement? After gaining the conviction that sinking and excitement would not come for just one session, then meditate on loosening the effort of conditioned equilibrium and not intensifying the sharpness of the mode of apprehension, then having laziness during the application, forgetting the instruction while making effort in meditation, having sinking and excitement during equipoise, non-application during the arisal of sinking and excitement, mental application when sinking and excitement are absent are the five falls. The form, devotion, aspiration, effort, and pliancy dispels laziness and a fall, mindfulness, alertness, application, and equilibrium. Gradually dispel forgetfulness, sinking, and excitement, non-application and application. Thus, abandoning the five falls and relying upon the eight applications are accepted to be necessary also for the highest yoga tantra. So this technique of applying the eight antidotes to counteract or combat the five falls is common to the highest yoga tantra as well. The stages of generating mental stability by depending on that, these are three parts. The actual order of generation of mental stability, how that is achieved by the six powers, and how that consists of the four mental engagements. The actual order of generation of mental stability, there are nine stages: setting, continually setting, patching, patchwork setting, closely setting, disciplining, pacifying, thoroughly pacifying, one-pointedness, and equipoise. These nine are generated.